Episode number 296, Digital Evangelism with Justin Nava. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, this is Making Sunday Happen, the podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences at churches all around the world. If you missed last week's episode of the show, you might have missed me telling you about some exciting news at our ministry. We just launched a brand new kids division called 1230 Kids, 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com. It's packed with an entire library of ready-made media for kids pastors and leaders. I'm talking countdowns, mini movies, games, full kids series kits that we call kids series boxes, service packs, social media graphics, and more. And there is more on the way. We are cranking it out as fast as we possibly can. Your children's pastor can purchase media individually or through our Go Unlimited subscription plan. They start at $33 a month. So we're trying to make the entire library as affordable as possible. When you purchase individually, I'm talking graphics for like $3, videos for $10, countdowns for like $10. Okay, so really, really affordable stuff for your kids' ministry that you can use. Any church, anywhere can afford the stuff in our library. This is for small churches, it's for church plants, it's for large churches. Anyone that is looking to enhance the kids' worship experiences at your church, I would love for you to check us out. Again, 1230kids.com. We're trying to make stuff really affordable. And again, we're just getting started. Stuff's cranking out as fast as our team can go. I am maxing out our team. Poor guys, they are cranking it out as fast as they can. We're getting it out there. 1230kids.com. Would love for you to check it out. All right, this week on the podcast, I welcome Justin Nava from Mr. Church Marketer. Justin has some fantastic ideas when it comes to church websites, social media, church apps, some tips for working with an agency, and more. We'll jump right into my interview with Justin after a word from this week's sponsor. Check this out.
With so many people living on the go, connecting with your community anytime and anywhere is crucial. That's why we created a way for you to do this. Introducing Subsplash Live. With Subsplash Live, you can stream your content in real time. Your weekend services, sermons, events, youth camps, worship gatherings, anything. Making it even easier to share gospel-centered content and engage your community right where they're at. And Subsplash Live is powerfully integrated with the rest of the Subsplash platform. So your live stream works everywhere, your mobile app, TV app, and website. Plus, syndication to the most popular platforms. We've made it easy to get started with Subsplash Live. With no restrictions on equipment, you can get started with something as simple as your smartphone or webcam and share it on all of your channels. Plus, with our all-in-one media solution, your live stream is automatically converted into on-demand content and published to your media library. Subsplash Live is a simple and powerful way to reach your audience and share your content. And now, as part of the ultimate engagement platform, going live has never been easier.
Hey guys, today I welcome Justin Nava from Mr. Church Marketer. Justin, what's up, man? Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, Carl. I'm glad to be here and excited for what we're talking about today.
Yeah, man. Me too. We're going to bounce around everywhere and I'm excited about it. But as we get going, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you guys do at Mr. Church Marketer.
Yeah, so I've been with Mr. Church Marketer still under a year now, but I've been serving in church from intern to part-time to full-time to volunteer roles since 2006, mostly focused on the media stuff and the marketing now. Mr. Church Marketer, we just help you get Sunday ready and help you get your name out into the community and reach more people. We do printables, signage, banners, shirts, swag, as well as digital websites, logos, design, branding, all that good stuff. We try to say, if you need it done, we'll do it for you. And if we can't, we'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah. So tell me about obviously the last year has been crazy. So give me a temperature check of the churches that you work with. Where are people at? What are people needing? What are they asking you for?
Yeah, so we work with churches across the country, and we've actually got some organizations across the world. And most people just need to know, how can we stay relevant? How can we stay compelling? How can we, I don't like to say get attention, but I like to say garner attention. It means you earn the attention. So that means making yourself valuable in the eyes of your members, your guests, your the curious, and the people in your community. So that's really what it's all about. And now, as far as the last year, it's really about how do we do that without the face-to-face? And so we've had a resurgence in something like Zoom, how to get people connected there, how to get people connected online, as well as just how to facilitate relationships and community when you can't be physically together.
This may be the same question and answer, but what are churches and organizations coming to you guys for? What are the top questions that they're asking? Where are they pouring their energy into?
How do we do church online? Mm-hmm. How do we get more people paying attention to us? And how do we do it with a church budget?
Right. So where do you stand on? So I'll tell you where I stand on the online and physical environment. I really thrive in the physical space. Mm-hmm. Now, I wrote a book on church online, so I'm not 100% either way. I'm more you need both to win and to reach your community. So I like the physical environment. I like us being back in the physical environment. I also like you having a digital platform. I like you treating your online experience as a campus of your church. I feel like it is. I feel like we need to pour as much time, staff, energy, money into the online as we do the physical. Make it a great experience, making a great environment for people. So I am very much in the camp of both. So tell me kind of how you stand on that and what you're leading churches to do in that area.
Yeah, so I believe 100% in the local church, whether that's a church building or meeting in homes or meeting even in a facility that's not a church, like a school or a movie theater. Me personally, and as this is me, Justin, the good old Southern Baptist boy you're talking to here, I believe that church is physical first, and we use the online to supplement that. So in the same way that we go out and do missions in the community, we still come back together to pray together, corporately worship together, all that good stuff together. So I think that while we go out into the online, which is a new mission field, and it could be a campus. I really like that. You know, when I hear that, Carl, it really comes down to just extending our reach. But there has to be, I believe, a physical element, whether that's, which I include Zoom in that. I think you can have a relationship with a pastor over the phone, over the Zoom, even if you only meet once or twice a year for whatever reason. But I really do personally believe that community needs to be physical, because that's how you're going to disciple each other. That's how you're going to help disciple kids. And that's why we have baby dedications, Carl. It's the church agreeing that they are going to support and assist the parents in raising the child in the way they should go. That's really hard to do when you're not around. And so I can go deeper into that, but that's just where I'm at. So I love online. I mean, I live online for a lot of it, and we've all lived mm-hmm. online, but there has to be some kind of personal relationship building there. And that needs to at least be face-to-face on the phone, in Zoom, or ideally in person. And there are some exceptions to that, but I don't believe we make the rules based on the exception. We make rules based on our personal beliefs. And you know, the great thing is God gives us lots of liberty. And so what works for one church doesn't need to have to work for another church. We're all given unique gifts to uniquely reach a unique group of people. And so the way we do church may not be the way I go to a very unique church. We don't have a church building, but that doesn't mean that's the way that you need to do church. So we're here to get you. That's why Mr. Church Marketer is, we're going to find out what your unique situation is and give you the solutions to reach the people that you want to reach and the way that they want to be reached.
Yeah, good. Well, you guys are doing a great service to the body as a whole, and I really applaud what you guys are doing. I want to chat today about digital evangelism. So how can I use online tools to reach people in my community and beyond? And so again, this is going to span several topics. We'll talk about websites and social media apps, working with the agency. We're going to hit on all of these things. But let's start with this. Set us up here. And this may conflict a little bit with what we just said, but why is it important that we pour energy into reaching people with digital means?
That's a great question. I think we compartmentalize online and digital too much. The reason we put energy and resources and time and talent and invest in the online world is, quite frankly, the way I see it. The same way that we invest in youth ministry and kids ministry and senior adult ministry. These are kids, students, parents, grandparents, widows that all have unique needs. And while we come to church and we worship together and we can all have lunch together, there are certain things that they are struggling with that's better suited to be discussed and discipled and mentored and facilitated in a group environment where they're with like kids. I mean, it's even why in student ministry, we often split up boys and girls, because girls at that age are going through completely different things than boys at that age. And so in the same way that we minister and disciple these kids and these different groups of people separately from a corporate worship, it's not replacing the corporate worship, it's supplementing it. It's getting down into the nitty-gritty where we can really, truly disciple each other. The same thing with online. The reason why we pour resources into the online world is because there are people that are geolocated, geographically restricted from coming to you in person. They're unavailable to come to you in person. There are still some immunocompromised people that are not comfortable being around others, and so you can't reach them in church in person. So we do things online, because quite frankly, that's where people are. A lot of times we say the church needs to be where the people are. Well, the people are online, and they're online a lot. So let's go where they are. And then also, with the rise of the digital age, there's information everywhere, which means there is false teaching and there is inappropriate influences everywhere all the time. So instead of saying, hey, come over here, the light's over here, why don't we bring the light to them and, again, meet them where they're at? That's why we invest in online.
Yeah, good. All right, so let's dive into websites first. Kind of broad question here. What are some main things that a church website needs? And obviously, we're coming at it with the premise, I am, and you feel free to speak to this, that that our website is the front door that people are going to check us out on our website before they come to our building, before they look into us further. If you don't have a website, you are behind, period. And I think that you need to pour energy and money into making a great first impression on your website. So with that premise, if you agree with that, tell me some main things that a church website needs.
Boy, so this is, Carl, this is where I'm going to frustrate your listeners, because I don't have a solid answer, nor will I ever give you one. Because again, your church is uniquely equipped to uniquely reach a unique group of people. And so your website, first of all, it needs to be a part of your vision, okay? Every church has a 6-month, 12-month, and then if you really want to, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year goal. Your website needs to play a part of that. If your church's vision is to go out and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and support the struggling, then your website needs to play a part of that. It needs to communicate that we're here to do that. Here's how you get involved. And if you need help, if you need food, clothes, or assistance, then your website needs to play a part of that. If you're a church that just wants to come together and do service and worship God and heal people, then that needs to be on your website. If you're a church that doesn't have a church home, your church website is going to function totally different to get people into group homes rather than a physical building. And this is why we take the approach that we do at Mr. Church Marketer. So when you say, what does your website need? First of all, pastor, if you're listening to this, and if you're not a communicator, I hope you're on board with the pastoral meetings and vision casting meetings if your church does that. Your website needs to match your church's 6-month, 1 year goal. If your church's goal is to feed 1,000 people in the next 6 months, your website needs to have a way for you to connect with those hungry people. For them to ask for assistance, and then for your church to be able to provide support and minister to those, whatever that might look like, it's going to look different. If your church's goal is to, if you're a church plant, we love working with church plants. We're working with one right now. Their goal is a core team of 25, a plugged-in team of 50, and then 100-person attendance when they launch in a few months. Their website does not look like a typical church website. It looks almost more like a club website, because we're trying to get people involved, having coffee with the pastor, meeting with the pastor, getting prayed for by the team, sending people out into communities to pray for them, and to get them plugged in to that inner core or on just the launch team itself. And then we're also doing more public events, because obviously they don't have a church home. And so we're using it as a hub of gathering outside and requesting people to come support, you know, you and your home. That's going to look completely different than an established church that's been in the community since the 1800s. So it needs to come down to, what are the goals of your church? What is your vision? And then your website needs to come alongside that and support it. If your vision is to feed people and get people into homes, there's no reason why your website primary goal should be to come on a Sunday morning, especially if that's not where you want people to first plug in. So it's got to align with your goals and where you want to do things. It's got to help you get there.
That's good perspective. Are there set pages that I should definitely have no matter where I'm at in that spectrum? I definitely need these pages.
Yeah, 100%. There are some commonalities that most churches need to have. Number one, you need what I call a scrolling homepage. If you're on the marketing world, you might hear this as micro funneling. What this is instead of saying, hey, welcome home, go click and find something. Right? We live in 2021, and ever since about the last 5 or 6 years, whenever someone wants more information, they're going to scroll. They're not going to hunt and peck, especially now that the menu is kind of hidden. So you need a homepage, but you need a scrolling homepage. So if I want to learn more, I don't have to go work for it. I can just scroll, and just like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those guys give me more information, even now TikTok. As long as I can scroll, I can get more information. So you need a defined homepage, and I almost like to think of it like a scrolling navigation bar where you can call people to action through the different sections of your website. The other thing you need is you need a page dedicated to whatever the next step you want someone to take. Now, a lot of churches have next step pages, which is just more micro funneling. But what you need is, if you want people to come to Sunday morning, you need a page dedicated to what to expect on Sunday morning. If you want, like our church, you want people to get connected to a home group, then you need a page dedicated to, hey, someone invited you to a home group. Here's what to expect, and here's the different options we have if you're just looking for a home group. If you're a church that wants to get people plugged into the community or a launch team, you need to have a dedicated page to, this is the next event you'll find us at, the next market, the next park we're going to be at. Come find us here. There needs to be a next step page. For a lot of churches, it's going to be, I'm new, what to expect, it's explore what's happening. I like to see a ministry's landing page. And what that is just another scrolling page that doesn't have to be long. If you only have three ministries, just make it three ministries. But just an overview of the different ministries that you have in your church. Kids ministry, youth ministry, senior adult ministry. You can even do stuff like the worship ministry, the greeter ministry. But just at a glance, what I call the people outside the door, the non-Christians or the non-familiar with the church. This just helps them see the different kinds of people that you're serving in your church and the different opportunities you have where I might feel I could connect. So this is more for the inside of the church to see kind of who you're ministering and what you have available for my kids, or if I'm a musician, or if my dad wants to come. The last super duper, well, I guess there's also, excuse me, let me get ahead. There's two more. The staff page, or the meet the team leadership page, whatever you want to call it. But one of the primary tenets of church is community. And so we want to see who's leading that community. Who does the community look up to? Who do they trust? And who is kind of among the leadership? Oftentimes we see that the church body, the congregants, reflect the kind of people that the leadership are. So I want to see not only who the pastor is, but and not only who their wife or husband is, but also who is leading the different ministries, who's leading the different organizations within the church. But then also, I don't care about their academic background. Some of the best pastors I've ever had personally did not go to college. They don't have a college degree. What I care about is, why are they at the church? How long have they been there? What does an executive pastor do? I love to put that on there. What does an executive pastor do? Because on the outside, I've had several people ask me this. What is an executive pastor? Why are they taking a salary? Why are they taking a portion of the giving fund? So it helps to sometimes put a bio there of what they do. And then also just some information about what they relate with. What's their favorite movie? What's their favorite TV show? What do they like to do on the weekends? I've had several people that come to church and say, I just saw the pastor likes to hunt on the leadership page. And I knew that this was a guy I could get along with. I mean, that's a huge thing for me. If you can get men coming to the church, I love it. The last thing I like to have is a give page. This is not a link to the giving platform. This is a giving page that shows why you give, what your giving goes towards. And if anyone has any questions about giving, they can answer that. So I like to include, what does your church believe about giving? You don't have to be super transparent if you don't want to show like the budget percentage, like this much goes to facilities, this much goes to staff, this much goes to missions. You don't have to go that transparent, but show the different outreach opportunities, the different missions opportunities, both local. Share some life-changing testimonies. You know, I was in a deep, dark pit, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Church's recovery ministry helped me get out of that, and now I'm sober for 3 years. That's something I can get behind, as well as FAQs. Where does my give? You might say, where does my giving go? And we can say, you can call the church office, or how do I give? Is it safe, secure, if you want to ask that question? And then you can call to action for people to give. When you have a dedicated giving page like that, what we've seen in our analytics is A, people who tend to not give, give, period. And then people that normally give, we've been told, you know, I normally just give $50 of every paycheck. But once I saw that you're helping the widows, helping the orphans, feeding the hungry in our community, I was like, I like that. I'm going to give $70. And people's giving increases. When you have this dedicated give page that really shows what's happening at your church and what they're giving to you. Otherwise, you're just opening the door for that obstacle of, I don't want to pay for pastor's new sneakers or their car or whatever else I saw on Instagram. We really want to show the church being the church, and the dedicated give page will help you do that. So those five pages are kind of like my, every church website needs to consider having this and probably should have this.
How important is the text copy? How long does it need to be? You know, can I get too wordy? Tell me how important the copy is on the site.
I'm glad you asked that question, Carl, and this is where I get in a lot of trouble, okay? So first of all, there's two things that need to happen with your website, and it's the same thing that happens when you buy a home, okay? You need to have someone build the website just like you have someone build the home, but then you can't just, even if a home is listed as move-in ready, that doesn't mean it's got a bed and couch and furniture and appliances. You got to fill the home. And in the same way that you can have someone build your website or you can buy a template and it's kind of like buying a home, you still have to fill it. And so that's where what I like to consider copywriting, which is just writing the content, copy is written content. It's kind of like interior decorating your home. You can move into a home, and especially bachelors, we've been guilty of this. I'm no longer a bachelor. We're going to celebrate 10 years this summer. I'm very excited. But I had a futon, I had a Star Wars clock on the wall, and I had an old hand-me-down bed. And that, of course, was, once we got married, that was our first argument, Carl, was getting rid of the Star Wars clock. I was not ready for that. But we had to make our place a home, and it was still a hodgepodge of things we found on Craigslist, things we found at garage sales. We didn't buy nice furniture sets, and we had a home, and it was usable, but it was a lot of hodgepodge, not much matched. And you know, if guests came over, we didn't have a guest bed, they had to sleep on an air mattress. It wasn't super comfortable for them. It did the job of being a home, but it wasn't exactly the vision that we wanted to have as a nice family home. And so that part of owning a home and living in a home with the hodgepodge of furniture, that's kind of what it's like when you get a template and you just kind of fill it in. You're just like, oh, there's a headline here. I guess, welcome home, or join us on Sunday. We'd love to have you. Real God, real purpose, real people. Something like that. Something like, oh, okay, I guess that's okay. That's fine. We're filling in the blanks here. We got a room. Let's fill it with a mattress. And then you kind of fill in, but you don't really know exactly what's going to help the flow. You don't know where guests are going to put their things. You don't have a guest bathroom. You're just kind of like, where am I going to put all this stuff? Or how do I put this information? And then you just get like one page of just text, because there's a whole page you need that wasn't included with the template. And you just kind of shove it in the corner. Now, copywriting is kind of the interior decorating. It's okay, now we can get a matching furniture set. We can get an appliance, a fridge that doesn't stick out from the wall and you run into when you walk into the kitchen. We can get nice matching furniture for the kids' room or a bunk bed, because we need a bunk. You're like purposefully and intentionally furnishing your home for what you need for your family and what you want for your guests that come into your home when they stay and visit. So in the same way, a copywriter or a content writer, and this is why this this is, again, what we do at Mr. Church Marketer, is going to work with you to figure out, again, what are your mission? What's your vision? What's your goals? What do you want people to do when they come to your site? How do you want them to guide them? How do you want them to connect? What's the next step you want them to take? How do you want to be represented? What's the reputation? What's the first impression? What's the emotion you want to evoke? What are the necessary details, and how do we properly present that in a way that's understandable? A lot of times when pastors get their hands on a website, they end up writing an academic dissertation on the site about what the church is and what they should do and what they're all about. And it doesn't pass what I call the mother-in-law test. I have a wonderful mother-in-law, raised an amazing woman that is now my wife, and she loves our family to death. She's present. She loves us. She cares about us, and we are very thankful to have her, but she's not a Christian. And so whenever I design a website, I always do what I call the mother-in-law test, and you can call it whatever you want. But when I write a website, I always ask, is this something my mother-in-law can understand and feel comfortable with? If I'm going to write a bunch of stuff that would make her not understand or not, or you know, if it would chase her off or make her feel uncomfortable, then I'm going to massage it a little bit more so she can at least understand it. I'm not writing the website for her, but I'm writing it so someone like her could understand it. I think she's only been in church one time in her entire life, and that was our wedding. And so I want to make sure that someone like her can fully understand it. And then if she can understand it, in my mind, anyone can understand it. A lot of times pastors don't think that way, and they're not really supposed to think that way. They don't teach that in seminary because, pastor, you got more important things to do. You got marriages falling apart, people in the hospital, people doing bad things, people struggling with sin, and then you've got a whole staff and business to manage on top of that. Pastor, it's okay. You're not supposed to write your site. Communicators, we're flying by the seat of our pants. So I understand that's difficult. This is why when we do stuff at Church, Mr. Church Marketer, we try to keep it turnkey. We deliver it to you ready. It's like buying a house with the furnishings ready to go, and you're ready to literally move in and sleep there that night without doing anything. So that's the importance. If you just fill in the blanks, you're not really going to set yourself apart. You're not going to get anything going towards your goals or your vision. You're just going to have another church website. And that's the last thing I want for you, is for you to look like every other church, because you're not. God's planted you and kept you alive for a specific purpose, again, to reach unique people in a unique group of way. And if church wasn't supposed to be like that, there would only be one church in every town. And I believe that there's a reason why we have multiple churches in town, because we each not only believe different things, but have unique spiritual gifts to reach other people uniquely. And that's why we're all brothers and sisters, despite being in different churches. So the content is very key to getting people on board and getting them connected and flowing into helping you reach your goals or connect your church, whatever they're supposed to do. The content helps facilitate that. And of course, it helps facilitate it in a nice way that they can understand and that can be presented better than maybe you would be able to think up yourself if I was to write it. So that's the super importance. It's not about the design. No one ever came to a church because they had a great website design. Okay. The design helps emphasize the content that's on the site. And it helps remove obstacles because it loads fast and it looks aesthetically pleasing. But the message is what's important. The design just helps influence that.
Good. How important is the platform? Should my website be WordPress? Should it be, you know, a different form? What advantages or disadvantages are there to different platforms?
I'm really glad you asked that. And I'm going to tell you, my agency designs in WordPress, but I don't recommend WordPress if you're going to DIY it. Asking if I should use WordPress is like asking if I should drive a Chevy. There's no easy answer for that. If someone says you need a Chevy, they're a bad salesman because they didn't find out what you need, why you need it, how far you're going to drive it. Do you need a truck? Do you need a car? Do you need a minivan? There's a lot of questions you have to ask someone to figure out what kind of car they need, rather than just say, you need a Chevy. Like, I'm automatically tuning you out because you don't know anything about me. So I don't recommend one platform over the other. Now, my agency, we design in WordPress because we're professionals. We know how to make it work. And we also monitor it for you. We do security scans, speed tests, all that good stuff, software updates, security updates. We do it all for you. And so we're able to use a professional software like WordPress. But running WordPress is kind of like maintaining your own car. It's going to break down over time. And you need to have a professional look at it, give it some tune-ups, give it some upgrades. And yeah, you can do whatever you want. I put lights on my car. I've got special decals and all the stuff that I've done with my car to customize it, but I'm still not going to change my own oil. I need someone to do that for me because I'm not comfortable with that. If you can, great, go with WordPress. It literally can just about do anything. I also believe that just because it can do everything doesn't mean it should do everything. There are plenty of other platforms. If you're a designer and you're not a techie, or if you don't have a lot of time, skip WordPress, Webflow, go with something that's drag and drop. If you want to go something church specific, I like Church Co. and Subsplash. If you're media heavy, I really like Subsplash because they have all the media tied in. If you just know nothing about websites and you just need something tomorrow and you have very little budget and you're okay with a lot of restrictions as far as what your site's going to look like, go with Church Co. They work, they're great, and they're very affordable. If you don't want to do a church website because you want all the bells and whistles from any other website, Squarespace is going to do you good. I don't like Wix. I don't like Weebly. I guess I would just go with Squarespace because that's a good drag and drop. But again, you are pretty limited as far as what the design templates they give you are allowed to do. I even have problems working with the Squarespace site. So that's why I don't personally use it. But again, the platform, it's just a platform. You cannot, Carl, and I always go back to this. If you need a website because you don't have one, or if you're launching a church, you cannot afford to spend two more months trying to pick a platform. Just pick one and launch it, okay? Because again, when I told you what a website needs, what you want it to do, the content that's going to go inside, you notice I did not talk about the platform at all because I honestly believe the platform does not matter. I don't make money selling WordPress websites. I make money, or our agency makes money and gets clients by selling websites that gets more people into the door, hearing Jesus and converting and coming into your community to help serve and disciple others. That's what makes our church websites work. We just like WordPress, but we could do it on Subsplash, Church Co., Squarespace. We can do it on any of those because the platform doesn't matter. You just need a car to get you from A to B. Don't spend 2 months without a job because you can't pick the right car. Get a car so you can get a job. Get a website so you can get going and get your message out there and get your representation online, because people are going to check that. And if they can't find you, you don't exist. Get a website. Doesn't matter the platform.
Good, 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 good. All right. So let's switch gears. I know we're running at a very fast pace here today, so you're doing great. Let's move to social media. So what are some things that you guys have coached churches on when it comes to social?
Sure. So going back to what I originally said, remember that our online presence is an extension of what we're trying to do as a church. And social media is a great tool to get the church's recognition out into the community. And so when it comes to social media, I like to remind pastors and church leaders that this is almost like having an online campus, like you said. You would never have a campus, you would never open another campus and people come in and say, okay, guys, on our other campus, we've got Sunday service. You can watch. We're going to go ahead and simulcast our other campus. And all we're going to do here is just tell you about what's coming up. Okay, thanks for coming. Bye. Right? You would never do that on another physical campus. So we shouldn't treat social media like that. So social media is all about, just put it simply, it's about getting our message out into the community, both to our followers and to the people in our community. So in the same way that you're going to see your local bakery say, hey, these are our baked goods. Hey, retired veteran, World War II veteran James came and he said these nice things about our cookies. Hey, come find us at the farmer's market. Hey, we're doing a baked good giveaway for your mom, you know, stuff like that. Like they're promoting stuff and it's just about cookies. But they're promoting how good their cookies are, how much people love their cookies, different things that their cookie shop is doing. And you go to the church website and it's just like, oh yeah, we're doing stuff, but you got to come find out about it. Don't use it as an announcement platform. Use it to show off the gospel, to preach the gospel, to communicate, and be there to minister to people. That's what it's all about. It's about going where people are. And Carl, if you came up to me on the street and you said, Justin, I'm in dire straits. I need help. Someone needs to support me. Whatever's going on, I'm not going to tell you, Carl, I hear you. Go to church on Sunday morning. Go talk to Pastor so-and-so and see you later, right? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to help you where we are on the side of the street of the grocery store. So we need to be listening to our people online and just be there providing what we call value, basically helping them feel better having interacted with your post or at least seen it in their lives. And we do that on an entirely kingdom-based level. We're not just trying to sell cookies here. We're trying to create life change and grow the kingdom. So that's important. We got to be valuable and we have to garner attention on the platform. Now, I think the next tech question you're going to ask is probably, how do we do that?
Yes. Is there any secret posting formula that you guys encourage churches to use?
Oh, you had to use secret. Now I got to give you it, my secret.
I want the secret sauce, baby.
Okay. Oh. We just did a masterclass session where we spent 30 minutes on this. I'm going to condense it down to about 90 seconds. Is that okay, Carl?
Fire away. Let's do it.
All right. So I created this formula in 2014 for my church, and it worked like gangbusters. I shared it. It's actually the first thing that I ever did consulting for, was sharing this formula. I've shared it with multiple churches of multiple faiths, launch, established churches. I've even shared it with some businesses, and this really gets people engaging. In fact, someone that we talked with that was at the master session, a youth pastor said, we've been using this formula and we are already seeing a boost in our engagement just 1 week later, which was perfect because it was the week before Easter. So what it is, I call it the Beast Formula. Okay. Acronym. BEAST. Okay. 5 posts a week. That's all you have to worry about. You never have to worry about what to post. Just answer these questions. B for branding. What's something unique about your church? Again, your church exists because you're doing something no other church is doing. So what's something unique? What's something you believe in? What's a unique way you do your church? What's a ministry you have? Just let people know something you believe. Something I posted in my church, my own church, is I posted our core 3 values. We believe in people over places. Relationships happen best in the home, and people disciple best when the pastor gets out of the way. That's something that we believe. So I posted that. That's something about our brand, something unique. E for encouragement. This is something we do pretty well as a church, but you got to do it intentionally. You can't just throw up a C.S. Lewis quote or a Tozer quote or a pastor quote or even a Bible verse. Think about what is important to people right now. Okay. Something I read yesterday was, you know, how we need to speak we have to speak graciously. And so that's very important because we need to do that online too. So I posted that for our church. Our church social was, hey guys, don't forget that we are here to speak graciously. And I encourage you to find moments to make others feel better and speak graciously to them, even when they disagree with you. And so that's just encouragement. Let someone feel better having followed you, or remind them something good, give them some hope, something. It's very difficult. And in fact, the example I gave you is probably poor, because that can come across convicting or challenging. We don't want to do that. Again, we want to give them hope, and we want them to feel better for having interacted with us, so they can continue to come back. A for advertisement. Listen up, pastor. Listen up, church leader, communicator. A for advertisement, and that's it. Once a week, you get one time a week to advertise something about your church, but it doesn't have to be an upcoming event. A lot of churches, especially during the pandemic, said, what do we put on social? We have nothing going on. I said, you got tons of good stuff going on. You can advertise. Yes, you can advertise a certain upcoming event. You can advertise a ministry you have. Not a lot of people know that you can advertise about your nursery ministry, kids ministry, something that you do in church. Hey, by the way, don't forget, on the 4th Thursday of every month, we give away 100 pounds of food. You know, just advertise something that you can do every week. It doesn't have to be a new upcoming event, but once a week, that's it. Same reason why we only spend 3 to 5 minutes on announcements in a 90-minute service, because it's not that important, and it's not that important on social. One time a week. S for spark conversation. These are things that churches do almost overboard, because we try to get these engagement posts and get people talking. Once a week, guys, spark conversation, ask a question, run a poll, get people's thoughts or opinions, okay? And make it low investment. Don't ask people whether God is dead. You know, you're not going to ask super high thinking falutiny questions. You know, what's your favorite game day? It's baseball season. What's your favorite baseball food, nachos or hot dogs? You know, really low investment. No one's, you know, people can have fun arguing over that stuff. How do you take your coffee? And you got that post that has the 5 different coffee cups with a lot of milk or no milk. And you get some people like, oh, riled up. And it's kind of a fun camaraderie kind of thing. Or you can run a poll, something like that, just to get people engaging. And you can also, pastor, you can use this in your services. You can say, hey, you know, this week I asked people, you know, what they thought about coffee. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, what we put in our bodies this week. And we're not just talking about food. We're going to talk about what comes in your eyes as well. And some people put a lot of cream in their eyes and they're getting not much coffee. And you could use that. And it's relative. You can even put it on the screen. So spark conversation. The last one is the most important one, testimony. And the reason it's last is because if you do this Monday through Friday, it posts on Friday and it lives throughout the weekend. And that's testimony. Now, that doesn't always mean salvation story. I understand your church doesn't have that many a year. Okay. I understand that. But testimony is just a story. And it doesn't have to be a recent story. Yes, you could share a salvation story. Yes, you could share a baptism story. But you could also share a benevolent story that you have, share about someone that came recovered from addiction. You know, sobriety is great. I think addiction ministry is the next biggest thing for churches. And guess what? People can celebrate addiction recovery every year. And so every year, celebrate the people who are 1 year, 2 year, 3 year sober, because that's a huge thing. And that's a huge thing that Christ can help them overcome that other people will relate to. Talk about, share stories of missionaries you've had. And if you are an established church, you've got so much history. Share a story about what happened 20 years ago. Share a story about what happened 10 years ago. Share a story about what happened last year. Nobody remembers what you preached about last year. They're not going to remember that one social media post that you shared about how this kid did a nice thing in your community. Share those stories. Share the stories of your people. You've got veterans. You've got sports athletes. You've got moms. Just share their story. It doesn't have to be anything. Hey, meet Catherine. They're having twins and they've already got another one. Hey, Catherine, and you just share some stuff about what she's nervous about, but what she's excited about. And it's just telling a story in your church. So that's BEAST: branding, encourage, advertise, spark conversation, and testimony. 5 posts a week. You don't have to think about anything else. And once you practice it, you can create those 5 posts. Granted, you got to have some lead time on the testimony, but those 5 posts can typically take you about 15 minutes and you're going to have quality engage. You're going to have engaging post ideas for your church. And you can use something like Sunday Social or hire us to design the graphics for you, or just go live. I'm a big fan of pastors going live. Hey, let me tell you about one of my core values. Let me tell you about one of the values of our church, what drives our church. Hey guys, here's a quick word of encouragement for something I read today. Hey guys, don't forget, we got this event coming up, or don't forget, we've got nursing ministry. Hey guys, I'm eating dinner right now and I'm at the baseball game right now. Tell me, I like Dollar Dog days, but are you more of a nacho guy or do you like the dessert days? Or testimony, let me tell you about this guy that we just helped. He lost his job. He's trying to get a job. There's nothing around him. We went ahead and helped him fill up his gas tank because he needs to get a job because he wants to support his family. He wants to do right by them. And through this, I got to share Jesus Christ with him. And he realized, and you just share a story and you can do all that live. And you know, it does get tiring and it's a little nerve wracking, but just the BEAST formula, no matter how you do it, you're going to see engagement. And you'll notice the big theme throughout every post is providing something of value that helps represent your church in the best light, put your best foot forward, but also encourages and brings hope and information and inspiration to the people who are following you and see your social media posts. Because when you do BEAST right, people are going to start sharing this.
Great, man. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Thanks for sharing the secret sauce. All right. Next topic, let's move to church apps. Okay. So do you think I should have a church app? Give me platforms, give me how much time and energy I should put into it. What are the best ways to promote? Give me your church app.
So church apps are tricky because again, everything comes down to value and usability. Okay. If I do a Google search for your church, your website's going to come up and then your social media is going to come up. Your app is never good. The only way people are going to find your app is in the app store. It's called a walled garden. So apps are really primarily for internal use. Okay. No one is going to doubt. I'm sorry. It's baseball season. It's on my mind. I've got my Houston Astros cup here. You may hear banging in the background. Just ignore that. But no one is searching your church in the app store unless they're already connected with your church. No one's downloading the Houston Astros app unless they plan on following the Houston Astros. That's just how it's going, okay? They might see Astros news on Google. They might see social media posts, which is why that's great for getting your word out there and your representation out there. But the app store is a walled garden, and the only people that are going to really download an app, if you have one, is your people. So the other question, the follow-up question, now that we've defined who the app is for, is what is it for? If it is another reflection of your website, why have an app? Okay. And you really need to do some data. Okay. Because stories are stories, facts are reality. A lot of people tell a lot of stories. Well, I think an app is easier to use. Go into your screen time, Carl, and you'll see an app is easier to use, but it's just Facebook in your email. Okay. You're not using a lot of third party apps. And there's a lot of people that might have I just want a church app because the internet's slow. And I don't know. I understand that's one person, but you've got 90 other people using the website already. And I want you to be a good steward. And so, yeah, we can set up apps for you, but it is not cheap. So you really have to think about the usability. An app is really great for the larger church because you have specific needs you cannot address on your website. An app, you can do geolocation. So you can have a campus map and you can help people navigate throughout your building, much like I might use my mall app to find out where stores are. And yeah, you can do it on the website. It's not as elegant. So an app is really good for that. If you want to do fill-in notes, people can save and mark and underline their Bible, or, you know, you have fill-in notes. You can do that through the app. You can also do messaging through some apps. Not so much push notifications, but a lot of people turn those off. That's what the data says. Again, stories are stories. Facts are reality. Focus on the facts. People don't like push notifications. They like it less than emails. Okay. That's how bad push notifications are. So, but you can do messages, okay, for your internal use, and you can do app messaging. So it's almost like having your own WhatsApp platform. And if you're going to do heavy media stuff, my church has an app, but that's because we have a lot of media. We have, not only our Sunday services, we actually have media specifically for kids. We have media specifically for, I don't know how to describe it yet, but our pastor is also a professional comedian. And so he does these comedic interviews and routines and stuff. And it's just something to watch when someone's over and it's like, let's just have a laugh and relax. And it opens the door to conversation about our church. And then there's also some discipleship training videos that we have. That's all very hard to host on a website. So we have it in our app because we also have it on a TV. We use Subsplash, so we have an app on the phone and an app on the TV. If you're going with a church app, there's quite a few out there. I personally am very familiar with Subsplash, so I like Subsplash. I know Tithely has an app now. I just haven't used it. If you're a larger church and you have those specific niche needs like campus mapping and segmented check-in or other things that you need to do, sign-up forms and all that, you probably need to and have the resources to go ahead and get it built custom. That is a significant investment. It's still cheaper than an outdoor sign, Carl, but it is a significant investment. But you're going to have the audience for it because you've got several thousands of people that can use it, and you've got the team to manage it because you're a large church. You have a media team. If you're a smaller church, you just really need to think, are we media heavy? Do we have unique needs we can't do through the website? And do we have enough people to use it? A church of 100, I don't think the cost is worth it. Now, again, you're a unique church. You have a vision. You do you. But I don't think it's worth it. So should you have one? It's going to depend. I think if you have niche needs and you're a larger church, then yeah, you can look at having one. And as far as platform, custom Subsplash or untested right now, Tithely. There are some more, and there's one specifically, but I'm not going to bash them. I don't not recommend a lot. What's the opposite of recommend, Carl? Discourage? I don't know. I don't discourage companies, but there is one out there, if I didn't name it, that a lot of churches have that I discourage against. So those are the ones that I start with. Custom, Subsplash, or maybe Tithely because I believe in the company, but I haven't used their app yet. So take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Good. I totally agree with that. It definitely depends on where you're at, what you're doing, if it's worth it or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, last topic here is working with an agency. Okay, so without sounding self-promoting for you and for me, let's talk about the needs. Why would I outsource? Why would I work with an agency? What should I outsource? Give me all that from your perspective.
Yeah. It's the same reason why I'm not going to put my own roof on the house. The same reason why I don't change my oil in my car. I can rotate my tires if I wanted to, but I still have someone else do it. I can actually change the oil in my car. I just don't want to because I have other things that I need to be doing and that I want to do. And I'm sure I could learn how to re-roof my house, but I don't want to do that. There are professionals that can do that faster, easier, and safer. Same reason with our website. Or anything you do, graphic design, content writing, management, upkeep. If you're a small church pastor, you've already got multiple hats on. The other hat you don't need to add on to your stack of hats is website admin. Okay. This is why, again, why I don't recommend WordPress, because you've got so much other things going on. You don't need to add technical support on top of that. So the reason why I like working with an outside agency is the same reason why I like working with a plumber or a roofing contractor. We have a specific set of skills, Carl, that will allow us to do the job properly. Okay. We have designers, we have content writers, we have tech guys that manage the hosting, all that good stuff. I mean, did you know you could even host your own website? That's what we used to have to do. Now Squarespace hosts it, Amazon hosts it, because there's a lot of technical stuff. So you're already outsourcing part of your website by hosting it with someone else. If you don't have a computer server hosting your website, you're already outsourcing a portion of your website. Mm-hmm. But it all comes down to specificity, okay? Specialization, let's use that word. It all comes down to specialization. I tell people ask us, you know, how long does it take to build a website? I said, it's going to depend completely on you, Pastor. This is what we do, literally almost 24/7, because we have after-hour designers that work for us as well. This is all we do. If you give us a question, we're going to have an answer, or we're going to have a design with you for you next day or day after. I mean, it's quick. This is all we do. But you, Pastor, again, have marriages falling apart. You have sermons to preach. You have kids acting up. You've got people with struggles. You got people you got to visit in the hospital. So it can take you, Pastor, a few days to get stuff back to us. But guess what? When you work with an agency, first of all you really have to do is spend an hour with us in discovery so we can learn about your church, who you are, your DNA, your people, your community, your brand, all that good stuff. We're going to ask the right questions. And then all you have to do from there is just give us approvals. And then give us, you know, maybe another 30 minutes on revisions. But we spend so much time, and we like to say when we're done with our discovery, we feel like a member of our staff, and you do too. We just knock it out of the park on the first time. There is no trial and error when you work with an agency, because we design it properly, we write it properly, we host it, secure it, all that stuff. It's one and done, because that's what our specialty is. And just like Carl, you guys, your specialty is video. You don't have to do many reshoots because you know what you're doing. You know how lighting and grading and contrast and coloring and all that stuff works. You nail it the first time. Whereas me, I'm not a video guy. I'm going to do a lot of reshoots and I'm going to do a lot of time in post because I don't know what I'm doing. I got a trial and error, spend a lot of time and even a lot of money trying to get the right camera, lenses and effects, plugins, all that good stuff that I want to do the job. Whereas you can do it first and you can do it quick. So the reason why you work with an outside agency is because you have so many things to do. You don't need to add another thing on top of that. Let someone else take care of it. You call a plumber, you call an HVAC guy, you call someone to do your floor, you call someone to do your carpeting. There's no reason why digital is any different. You can call someone that can just build your website, do it right on the first time, and you don't have to worry about it. All you have to worry about is the people that are going to start coming and having the proper greeter ministry set in place, because we're going to send more people to you or send more people to your ministries or get you more phone calls in the church, because that's our job and we do our job. So that's why you should consider an agency. Now, if you have your own media team, go ahead and give it a shot. I mean, that's how I learned. I was the IT media director, and that's how I learned how to make a great website. It was a lot of trial and error, and I got paid for that. But I'll tell you what, hiring an agency is a lot cheaper than hiring full-time plus benefits for someone to do it for you. So those are kind of the high level, like why you should at least consider an agency. It just all comes down to specialty. Yeah. And some pastors need to do their own plumbing, and I understand that. You also have to do your own website. But eventually, you need to be a pastor and not just a preacher who also sets the chairs and fixes the flooring and hammers the roof and all that stuff. Be a pastor. Like you focus on shepherding. We'll focus on the media.
And I would say that goes down the line too, to worship leaders, to comm directors, tech directors. Yeah. What as your church grows, what do you need to come off of your plate so that you mm-hmm. can minister to your volunteers, your people, you have a job to do there on the ground that only you can do. You can be with your people. An agency can't be with your people. So how can you free up time so that you can pastor, even if you're not the senior pastor?
Yeah, because every moment you're shopping for platforms, trying to figure out the headline, updating, trying to figure out why a plugin broke. Every moment you're spending on that is not a moment on sermon prep or outreach or even just the business stuff that pastors have to do. It's kind of like why we do online giving. I mean, people are like, oh, why do I pay a processing fee? There is no processing fee for a check. It's like, yeah, but every time you write a check, pastor or administrator or another director has to take that check to the bank, you know? And so you've got processing and you've got, you know, tracking and all that stuff. And then you got to take it to the bank and then you have to balance it at the end of the month. Whereas online giving automatically ties into your church management system, automatically credits, automatically gets end of year statements, automatically emails them. You don't have to even mail it to them, send it to them. And it automatically puts it in your account. So you don't have to go to the bank and do all this balancing stuff. You're saving time. Yes, there is a processing fee, but you're getting all that time back because pastor or whoever doesn't have to go to the bank, wait in line, sit in line, and then a check got missed and then check bounces because there wasn't instant verification. All this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's benefits and drawbacks to both things, but it all comes down to what's more precious. A dollar on $100 or an hour back for the pastor to go do pastor things. Right. And I understand you want to save some money and more power to you. And, you know, one of the things we do is if you talk with me, Carl, I'm going to give you the exact strategies that we would use if we were to build your website. So basically, you know what needs to happen with your website. You just need to decide if you want to do it or if you want us to do it or another agency. I don't care. So I just want to see you succeed. So that's the thing, is it all comes down to time, And also, you know, getting it right the first time, which that's what we do, right? It's just like a roofer. If I try to fix something in my house, Carl, it's going to take me a few tries. I tell my wife, she says, can you do this weekend? And I say, I can definitely try this weekend, but it probably won't be fixed until next weekend. I'm not a handy guy. I'm a computer nerd. So you know, it is what it is. So, but you know, that's just something you have to balance.
Good. All right. So let's wrap this up in a bow of digital evangelism. Why are websites, social media, apps, agency work, why is all this important when it comes to digital evangelism?
It all comes down to bringing kingdom work and the gospel to more people. We live in a day and age where it's no longer has to be geolocated within your church walls at a certain time. It's the reason why we can watch whatever show we want on Netflix, Hulu, anytime we want on pretty much whatever device we want versus, 20 years ago when we had to wait for 7 o'clock on ABC and we watched that. And if we missed that, we had to just wait for the video to release or for a rerun to show on Comedy Central or something like that. And you had to hope, even if you before DVR, you just had to get it, right? And if you missed it, you missed it. You had no chance to talk about it. But we don't live in that world anymore. And so people will often say, well, why do I need to go out of my way to go to your church just to see if it's right for me, where you can present to them, this is what we believe. This is what we want for your family. This is how we'll serve you. This is how Jesus Christ wants you to live and the life abundant that he wants you to have it. And here it is. It's waiting for you. Now you need to take the action to accept it or, you know, come talk with us. It's all about relationships. So we talk about hope, community, and purpose as being core tenets of the church. And I 100% agree with that. It no longer has to be on Sunday mornings at 9 or 11 a.m. It can be any day of the week. And when you're online, even pastor, while you're sleeping, God can be working through what you do online on your website, in your app, on social media, all that stuff. These are tools that God has given you and we need to use it. What's that old thing? Someone's drowning. And they say, God, why didn't you save me? And God says, well, I sent you a guy in a boat and I sent you a raft and I sent you all these things. And, you know, the guy's drowning and he's like, God, why didn't you help me? And God's like, I sent you all these tools. It's the same thing. We have these new tools to reach people. And in the same way that we didn't used to have youth ministry, but now it's a core tenet, kids ministry, we now have online ministry. And pastor, you can do it. Pastor, you can bring someone onto the team. I think you need someone on the team, but it's that important now because that's where people are and that's where we can reach them any day of the week at any time, even while we sleep. I don't know why someone would say, nah, we're good. Just come on Sunday. Like, what? Again, maybe that's your church's goals, but that's why it's important because the people are there and it's so easy now to reach them. We can even save money in some of the old ways versus the new ways, physical versus digital, which is a whole nother show, but the people are there. What is it? The harvest is plenty. And I understand the workers are few, but the harvest is there.
Yeah. Good. Well, man, we made it. We plowed through. I appreciate, we covered a lot of ground and man, I really appreciate what you guys are doing and, keep it up. And, I know, just the church needs this stuff and I love where we're going in this year and, through digital obviously is going to be one way that we can reach, more people and is, heavily important. So, man, thank you for your time today. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you for having me, Carl.
Hey there, Philo community. I've got a big announcement regarding the Philo 2021 Chicago Conference on May 11th and 12th. You know, for months we've been talking about this being an in-person event. However, with the COVID vaccine not being available to the majority of the public, and we're not really sure about the state of Illinois and the restrictions they might have regarding the gathering of people, we've decided to turn Philo 2021 Chicago into a primarily streamed event, but with a twist. We're going to broadcast our main sessions and feature breakout classes live from Willow Creek Church in South Barrington, Illinois on May 11th and 12th in front of a live studio audience. While we can't hold an in-person event for everyone, we still have the chance to gather some of us together. And can you believe it? It's been 552 days since our last in-person event. So for those of you interested in coming to an in-person gathering, we're going to be crafting a special VIP experience just for you. But we also understand that not everyone is able or comfortable traveling or gathering in groups. So we want to make sure we still have the opportunity to gather together virtually. Our goal is to create an online event that still holds true to our values of providing skill development, community, and inspiration for those of us doing production in the local church. You know, we're excited to have Justin Firesheets, Dr. Andrew Johnston, Carlos Whitaker, and Cass Langton from Hillsong joining us this year for our main sessions, along with more than 50 of some of the most highly skilled practitioners of production in the local church, teaching all of our breakout classes. You know what? We're building on everything we've learned in 2020 to continue to make Philo an event worth your investment of time and resources. You know, more than ever, the role that each of us play as technical artists in the local church is essential to our churches effectively reaching our communities. And you know, you've crushed it this year, and we want to celebrate with you, and we also want to help you keep going. So join us virtually or for our in-person studio audience at Philo 2021 Chicago on May 11th and 12th. So go to philo.org and sign up.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
It is not too late to get your tickets for Philo May 11th and 12th. It's coming fast. I'll be there in Chicago and online as well. So if you are planning on coming, please stop by our 1230 Media booth. We are right beside Canon and right across from my friends at Resi. So we're going to be throwing stones across the little waterfall there at Willow Creek Community Church. We're going to throw stones and hit my friends at Resi. So if you want to see us throw rocks and throw stones at another ministry, feel free to... kidding. But I love those guys at Resi and the other sponsors and exhibitors that are going to be at Philo. You're going to love it. This is a hybrid event, digital, plus a live audience there in Chicago. So if you are there in Chicago, please stop by our booth, say hey. Also, if you're online, please find me in the chat window. I'm going to be leading and introducing all the breakout sessions in the creativity and communications breakout track. So please feel free to find me there. I would love to meet you and chat with you. All right, I want to give you a little sneak peek on what is to come over the next few weeks on our podcast. For the next 2 weeks on the show, I'll welcome the senior pastor of White Flag Christian Church, my friend Paul Wingfield. White Flag is in St. Louis, and Paul has done an incredible job of leading that church over the last several years. But in the last year particularly, he took a several month sabbatical during COVID and came back firing on all cylinders, especially with things going on in our culture. So fair warning, next week is going to be political for you. So next 2 weeks are, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Paul did an incredible series called You Deserve to Know, right out of his sabbatical, and it was awesome. So you want to learn all about that and how to be upfront, how to be transparent with your church as a church leadership and a church staff. So Paul is really going to bring some great ideas to you next week. So that is next week and the next. So we're doing 2 weeks with Paul. And then episode number 300 is upon us. So you guys know that if you've been listening to the podcast at any length of time, you know that we try to hit a big guest for our big episodes, like 100, 150, 200, and 300 coming up. So let me unveil the guest for episode number 300. Let me stop there and tell you the next 2 weeks will be with Paul, and then episode number 299 will be my three friends from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and staff, Troy Miller, Dan Darling, and Beth Wakefield. So the three big leaders of NRB will be here for episode 299, and then you're going to love that. Because they're going to be talking about how NRB is definitely intervening in the culture to make sure that you can do Sunday. They are meeting the political, talking with political figures and are really involved in our culture to make sure that Sundays can happen at church and they protect our freedoms. All right, so I didn't mean to give you a little taste and then pull it away, but here it is, episode number 300. I will welcome Phil Joel from the Newsboys. So you know him as the bassist, the long hair, blonde hair bassist from the Newsboys, and also Zealand, the band Zealand, and his own solo project. So Phil Joel will be here. Phil is a great guy with a heart for ministry. I can't wait for you guys to be here for that one. And we'll unveil a fresh new look for the show, too. So that's all coming up in the next few weeks on the show. We're just getting cranking, guys. So we are running and gunning every week, delivering fresh content just for you, completely free. And again, this is conference level. This is high caliber speakers right here on the podcast. So our blog and podcast, again, is completely free. Also, we have super affordable books on our website as well. As far as training goes, you can get all that at 1230.medium/training. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.